Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome all to another exciting edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We are here all together actually this morning. We have the full complement of regular members, Mike, Larry, Don, and me, and Rick. We also have someone from the 509. I might, area code, I might put them on just for a second to find out who that is. But we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy day to join us here on Blog Talk Radio for our program, The Revelation of Jesus. I am going to be putting up on the chat room all of our websites. The primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There is also a secondary website, and that website is spiritoftruthministry.net/S, T, M. And for those of you who are celebrating Easter this weekend, I am going to put up, on our Facebook page, I know I did it last year, I'm going to put up the paper that we came up with many years ago. I think that was in 2007 or 8 or something like that. Sabbath Resurrection of Jesus. This is a paper that goes through Easter and shows you why Jesus could not have been resurrected on Sunday morning, when indeed he was actually resurrected on Sabbath evening. So I will put a link to that on our Facebook page, and you can go there and find it. Let's have prayer, and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us peace today as we go through the method that it takes for us to learn and to know the truth. Father, I pray that you will help us keep your commandments because we are abiding in them. And because of that, we know that you love us. And I thank you for all of these blessed things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's get Rick in the vernacular potted up. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning from the vernacular.
From the vernacular, exactly.
I didn't want to say from the, yeah. You said potted
so
up.
So if anybody, by the way.
I didn't want to say, you know.
I've been meaning to find out who this person is. This person is one of our regular listeners. hang on just a second here. Hi, this is Dennis. And you are from the 509 area code. I'm sure you've told us who you are, but would you mind telling us again?
Can you hear me?
I certainly can. Who is this?
We're the Kelloggs. We live in Walla Walla. And
Don and Linda. Don and Linda.
Yes.
Don and Linda. Okay, it's been a long time. Then.
Hi.
Oh,
I've been wondering about you.
Don is a cousin to Suzette.
Yes.
Yes.
That's how we got acquainted with your podcast, your ministry on Blog Talk Radio. And
well,
we enjoy
appreciate
listening to your program.
So thank you very much. I'm going to just close everybody down right now except for Rick. If anybody does want to make a comment, basically all you have to do is push the number 1 on your phone keypad. That will give me an icon of a question mark, and then I will get your comment.
Well, I guess I'm up.
Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, Dennis.
You are up.
And welcome, everyone. I hope that these studies are not only helpful for you, but that you have the confidence to discuss these topics and subjects, the information that we go through, with friends, family. You can tell who your true friends are if they will discuss these subjects with you and still talk to you afterward. Dennis, are you there?
I certainly am.
I hear a hum, like a vacuum cleaner or something.
Okay.
In the back.
Actually, that's my refrigerator. My microphone is so sensitive, even though it's turned away, that you're actually hearing the motor in the refrigerator. It should go off here in a bit.
Okay. I want to talk about something today that I don't think has ever been expressed in the same way that I'm going to express it today. And it is important to think about this and see if it makes sense. I'm going to start out with John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and W is capitalized, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John is actually describing two beings, at least two beings. The Word is God, and the Word was with God. So two beings that are called or known as Word. And then verse 2, He was in the beginning with God, and He is the Word. Think about this carefully. I know that this text has been maybe not admittedly so, but it has been confusing. Maybe, if not confusing, a little unclear. Let's think about the human being for a moment. And what we are. What we are is flesh and blood. Our bodies contain organs and vessels and neural pathways that are made up of cells that form the tissue and organ has a certain function that needs to be carried out in order to keep homeostasis in the body. The brain is a biological computer that holds the information that it uses to regulate what is going on in the body. It also holds the words that we have heard throughout our lifetime. It holds the words that we have heard. We make a choice, a conscious choice, of what to do with the words that we hear. Some words we want to retain. Typically, these words are the ones that our parents have said to us in teaching us as we're growing up, telling us stories about their past and their growing up, telling us about what they believe. We go to school and we learn from teachers and then professors words of information. We think about math, and I know some people have a hard time with a part of math that we all had, probably eighth, ninth, tenth grade in there, called word problems, where we were given a problem as words, and then we had to turn it into numbers and get it written down correctly.
Rick, my dad was a great lover of word problems, and he said that the only problem with word problems is the words. What you have to do is get the words out of the way and get to the formula. And that's one of the reasons why I actually didn't have any problem with word problems, because if you can get them out of the way, you know what you're talking about.
So when you think about what we are, would you say we are words? And I want you to think about that, because I'm going to ask another question. So what we are is a physical body. Who we are the words that we have chosen to save in our mind, our intellect. If we took that same situation and applied it to God, what is God? And who is God? What?
Well, just as you read, Rick, just as you read in John 1, God is, we are always who, we're not always who we say we are, but we are always who we are inside based on the words that we believe. Look, people today, very much so, particularly in politics, it's very difficult to tell who's lying and who's not, because some of the liars are so good that it's difficult to get a handle on it. However, I think that it is possible, by looking at what they do as opposed to what they say, that you can tell who the liars are. God always does what God says he will do.
Okay, so Dennis, you just said something that I was going to talk next about, which is important. What we are and what we do depends upon who we are, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So what we are flesh and blood, bones, muscles, you know what I'm talking about. Our bodies are what we use to do what we do. So we have doctors and teachers and construction workers and artists, and we could go on down the line with the jobs that people do.
Okay,
the other thing that
just a quick comment on it. I am not a skier because I say I'm a skier. I can say I want to go skiing, all right? But just saying that does not make me a skier. I have to have worked at it long enough and hard enough and done the physical labor involved in order for me to make what I do match what I say.
Correct. So one thing that we humans also do is we believe. We believe based upon what we know. What we know depends upon what words we have in our intellect. Those words are not there when we are born. The words are in there as we go through learning processes throughout our life, typically in the first part of life up to about 20, in the 20s. And then from there, we put what we have learned into practice.
Rick, it's very common knowledge. It's common knowledge that with teachers, we understand that the human brain does not mature well enough to be able to make cognitive decisions based on facts until we have reached the age of 25.
Yes, I've heard that also. So we put into practice what we have learned, and what we have learned is stored in our brains as words or as numbers or as pictures. But like I said, numbers are thought of as words, like a word problem. And pictures are described in words. So if we distill down to the fundamental element that is in our intellect, it is words. Words are who we are. And words determine what we do. So, is it important that the words we allow to stay in our intellect are accurate, are truthful, correct? Is it important that we would take the time to make sure that the words in our intellect are truth?
I would say it's probably the most important thing that we can do, because if we are who we, you've heard the expression, you are what you think. If what you think is based in any part on having been deceived, for instance, you will never know if you're believing the truth until you find out if you've been deceived. And basically, Jesus told his disciples, see to it that no one deceive you. And if Jesus' disciples could be deceived. What about the rest of us who never heard Jesus speak in the flesh? So anyone who says to you, you know what, I can't be deceived. I know the truth, and there's no part of me that could possibly be deceived. You know for a fact that person has been.
The hardest thing to do in this whole process is to lower your firewall to learn. The words that we have held the longest are the hardest to get rid of. And what typically happens when we hear words that are different than the words we have in our intellect, we give a distinct advantage to what words have already been there, as opposed to the words that are coming in that challenge them. One of the hardest things that the disciples had to do was the words their teacher was saying were different than not only the scribes and the chief priests' words, they were different than the words of John the Baptist. And you can imagine how difficult it would be for them. They had already been affected by John the Baptist's teaching. They had accepted what he was teaching, and they believed that the Messiah was coming, and they also believed what John the Baptist said the Messiah would do when he appeared. And this man that John the Baptist had said was the Messiah, and they had agreed to follow and be his students, his disciples. He was saying things so out there that they were all confused. In fact, when he told the disciples that he was going to be despised and rejected and condemned by the religious authorities, and he would be put to death, Peter took him aside and in some very strong language told him that he needed to get his facts straight, because that's not what the Messiah was supposed to have happened to him. Words are hard. Words are difficult, but only as difficult as we make them. John the Baptist was in prison, and the Messiah was teaching. And his teaching was not the same as John the Baptist. And he wasn't doing what John the Baptist said that he would do when he showed up. John the Baptist said it was going to be final judgment time for Israel. And it was, but not in the way that John the Baptist was describing it. Totally. Somewhat it was, but not totally. So John, from his prison cell, sent his disciples to do this. You can find this in Matthew chapter 11, and starting with verse 1. And it came about that when the Jews had finished giving instruction, when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see." I want to draw your attention to things that Jesus said to the disciples of John. Tell John what you hear and see. The ears and the eyes are the spiritual input. What you see is evidence. You hear is the information, the message. So he's as he goes on, the blind receive sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. Poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. It's interesting that he says that, because he said that again with his disciples, and we'll read that in just a moment. I want you to notice, though, what he's saying. What you see, what do you see? You see that the blind receive sight, that the lame walk cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. That's what you see. That's the evidence that he is the one, the expected one. And then, what do you hear? The poor. What does the poor mean? Does that mean they don't have any money? Or does that mean, because what it says here, it's not talking about money. It's talking about a message. And not just any message. It is the gospel of the kingdom. The poor have a lack of words of truth in their intellect about the gospel of the kingdom. I'm sure you've heard me before talk about how you enter the kingdom and what the kingdom of God is. I use the example, it's actually in the movie Ragnarok, where Odin, a fictitious god, small g, and his son, Thor, a fictitious god, he tells him about their city that they've ruled for eons. And his evil sister is destroying the city completely, the city of Asgard, destroying it completely. And And Thor is distraught. And as the city burns, the ruins of the city, it's completely gone. And the people are leaving in their spaceships and looking back at the city with a feeling of hopelessness. And Thor remembers and recalls what his father said, that Asgard is not a place, it's a people. So wherever the people of Asgard are, that's where the city or the kingdom is. What I see as important in that to understand is the kingdom of God is not a place. It is a people. And the way that you enter the kingdom of God is by learning the truth. When the words of truth are in your intellect, you are in the kingdom. When you are in the kingdom, you are in the King. You are in the Father. You are in the Son. You are in the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 17, the prayer, the Son of God prayed this prayer to his Father, but it wasn't for him. It was for his disciples. And I thank God that John heard that prayer. And John wrote it down because it is an incredible prayer, meaning, because he really outlines in this prayer how you enter, how anyone enters the kingdom. Starting with verse 15. Of John chapter 17. Starting with verse 15. I do not ask thee to take them, his disciples, out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. So he's saying here, there are two kingdoms. He's inferring the one kingdom, which is the kingdom of his Father, the kingdom of God. And he's stating the other kingdom, and he's actually saying who the ruler of the other kingdom is. The two kingdoms are the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. And he's saying, do not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one who is the ruler of the world. And then sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. He has said in earlier places that this is the word that I have given to you. He talked about that in John chapter 14. This is the word that I have given to you, that I received from my Father. Why was it so important that the disciples listen to the word, the teaching of their master? Because it was the only way that they would be able to enter the kingdom, to leave the world and enter the kingdom. So that even though they were still in the world, they were not of the world. And that he says that in verse 16. They are in the world, but they are not of the world. why is it important that those who have entered the kingdom are still in the world? Because they have a job to do. And he goes on and he talks about that in this prayer. Verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. So he is saying the word you gave me that I have given them will sanctify them so that they can be in the world but not of the world. So they can be in the kingdom. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Think about that. How can he send you into the world if you're already in the world?
Rick,
you would have to
send,
be in a... What?
Sent into the world with what?
What I'm saying is you have to be not a part of the world,
right,
to be sent into the world. And he's saying the
right.
same thing. You know, he says, as you sent me into the world, and he was not even in the world when he was sent into the world, but he's saying, as you sent me into the world, what did he send him into the world to do? We read that in verse 17. Deliver
to bring
the
word of truth.
Why?
Right.
To sanctify them. To sanctify
Correct.
Them. When
so
you
Rick,
are sanctified, you leave the world
right.
even though you are still in. Your physical body is in the world, but your intellect is in the heavens.
And
it's
I
in
think
the kingdom.
That it would be I think it's important to make a distinction here because I have a number of friends who still to this day will say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this and the Holy Spirit told me to do that. And you look at what they say the Holy Spirit told them to do, and it is anathema to what God would say. The idea is that God's word was given to Jesus Christ, who brought it to the world. The Holy Spirit does not bring the words of God to the world. The Holy Spirit teaches us the meaning of those words and helps us put those words into our intellect. But she is not the delivery method. She is the interpretation method. And so when people say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, I almost want to say, well, what did she say for you to do? What, I mean, did you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you? What were those words? Because if those words are in any, I mean, just saying, if those words are any different than what Jesus brought from Father, it can't be the words of God. So how do you view the role of the Holy Spirit in our learning of to put these words in our intellect?
When Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and I think it's John 16 there or 15, but he said that the Holy Spirit would not speak on her own, but she would only say what she had received. And of course it says he in the Bible. We won't get into that. That she would take from what is his and make it known to you. Well, what is his, he has already said. He told his disciples that he had told them everything that his Father had told him. So he says, I say only what my Father has given me to say. So he takes from his Father and he makes it known to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit helps us understand the words that her son gave us and the words that the father gave us. So in order for us to leave the world, we have to remove the words in our intellect that keep us in the world. Lies are the key. If we believe lies and we practice a lie and we worship a lie, then our teacher, the devil, God does not, never has, and never will teach lies. Only the devil teaches lies. When the truth comes, the decision needs to be made. Do I discard what I have held to be true all my life? That, for most people, is the hardest thing they will ever have to do. And many find it impossible. Essential to salvation. Because only when we have been sanctified by the word of truth can we enter the kingdom of God. Jesus goes on with his prayer. And for their sakes, this is verse 19 of John 17, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Now you might say, wait a minute. He needed to be sanctified? No. What he's saying is that he's proving himself. As the man and the woman in the garden were to prove themselves. Did they have sin in them when they were created? Absolutely not. When they were in the garden, living in the garden, were they sinners? No. Were they believing lies? No. Did they have any lies in their intellect? When the serpent came and lied to them, did they believe the lie? Yes. Did they act on it? Yes. What happened? They were thrown out of the garden to deny them access to the tree of life. What he's saying is that he is doing what the man and the woman in the garden didn't do. And he had to do it because he was going to pay the price of their crime. He was going to pay that. And many times the devil tried to get him to fail. But he was strong and he did not fail. He met all that righteousness demands. And then he was put to death paying for the crime, the penalty for the crime that the man and the woman in the garden did not pay. The man and the woman in the garden received a stay of execution on the day that they disobeyed, on the day that they believed the lie of the devil and acted on it. That stay of execution was removed for the righteous. Now, that's an important point. The stay of execution, or the execution, was removed for the righteous when the Son of God was put to death. that way he had opened the door to the kingdom so that the righteous could enter. How would they become righteous? He just described it in his prayer. They would be sanctified by the truth, which is the word of God, which God gave to his Son, which his Son gave to the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit is there to confirm in us as we learn the truth. She helps us understand the truth so that those who are truly seeking the truth at all costs, they have taken everything that they have learned in the past and set it aside so that it will not conflict with learning the truth. If what we learned in the past is the truth, and I'm not saying everything we learned in the past was a lie. Most of what we learned in the past was a lie. But whatever we learned in the past that was the truth will be verified as we learn the truth. It will be verified and confirmed. The problem is in judging everything new that we are learning by what we already hold to be true and discarding that which conflicts with what we already learned. Now let's go on and finish with this prayer. Verse 20, John 17. I do not ask in behalf of those alone, or these alone, his disciples, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I am in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. I started the study today with John 1, 1 and 2. John 1 talks about the Word in the beginning, and that the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In this prayer, he's saying and confirming the same thing, where he starts out with the glory that we shared before the earth was created. And he's talking also about how his disciples can be one with him and with the Father, and that the disciples will write down these words that he has given them. And that's what he's saying, that they believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Does it look like the most important part of this whole process has to do with the words of truth? Pretty much that's all. Because that's what he is reinforcing here. And then doesn't he say in John chapter 12, one of my favorite texts, in John chapter 12, and we'll start reading in verse 47. And if anyone hears my sayings or words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings or words, teaching, has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. I don't know what else I can say. The decision for everyone at the judgment is what words are in your intellect. Are they lies or are they the truth? He was very clear when he spoke to the religious leaders in John 8. And he said that, starting with verse 42, I know we're about out of time. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I have proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word." Why can't you hear his word? Well, he goes on. "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning." Of course, he's saying that because they're plotting to kill him. "And does not stand in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own initiative, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Remember, we are only what words we have in us. The flesh accounts for nothing. Nothing. The flesh contributes nothing to our salvation. It is the words. And if there's lies in our intellect, where does that put us? "Speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." God, the true God, is the father of truth. And all those who have the truth, he is their father. Those who have lies and hold on to those lies in the face of the truth, as these were doing here, they have chosen their father as the liar from the beginning. "But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God."
The words.
Go ahead.
I find it fascinating. Every once in a while, I get one of these little aha moments, and I just had one. We understand that God the Father gave Jesus the words that Jesus brought to earth to give to his own disciples, who would then give those words to us. And the follow-on verse in John 17:22 just hit me. And it says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one." The glory is the words of God. Has
right.
to be.
And the words of God are the power of God. Think about that. God,
absolutely.
By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He commanded, and he spoke it, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood fast. I don't have time to talk about that. I'll have to talk about that next time, but that is, what God is and who God is words. And the God's form, and we know God has a form because he gave us his perfect form. But his form allows him to interact in his universe and in this world. But he is what he wants us to be and all we are. Take away the flesh, take away the substance, take away everything. What is left? It is what is in our intellect. That is what our spiritual self is. That is what our soul is. And it is preserved in a magnetic field. And the magnetic field is all over. The magnetic field fills the universe. So as long as there's a magnetic field, the information, the words that are preserved in the magnetic field in our mind will continue to be preserved until the final day. Time, those whose intellect is full of truth will have eternal life. And those whose intellect is full of lies will have eternal death. And their intellect, along with the devil's intellect, will be completely destroyed because it's nothing but lies. The flesh accounts for nothing. And as the sooner that we can get that straight, that we are not our body of flesh, we are the information in our intellect. Dennis.
Thank you, Rick. That was fantastic. See, I love it. You know, I've been doing this with you for years and years, and every once in a while you get just a little glimmer of something different, and it makes a difference. So let's just continue studying together as we go through our time together here on this earth, and prepare ourselves for the kingdom of heaven that is soon to come. I encourage you to go to our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/STM. You're going to find lots of good stuff there. Please go to our Facebook page, Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. There you will be able to join us, and you'll be kept apprised of upcoming broadcasts and all of that sort of thing. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a happy Sabbath, and I pray that you'll join us again next Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today at 10 a.m. for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. So long for now.